All right, here we go. Live from the Rivers Casino Sportsbook. No more Penguins games to bet on. I'm not sure where they rank among the teams for the 2025 Stanley Cup. I don't even think those odds are out yet. If they were, the Penguins would be middle of the pack at best. Today, we'll have a potpourri of Penguins players weighing in on the season and the future. Also, Mike Sullivan later this hour, which you guys will want to hear. Mike Sullivan with us here on 93.7 The Fan. That'll be a good one. And the final call from the game last night to end it, only 38 wins for the Penguins this year to 44 losses. That ain't good. That's under 500 if you add up the overtime losses and the regulation losses. So 38, that's worse than last year. And then of much more importance to me, Chris, is what we heard there from Sidney Crosby. And let me preface what I'm about to say about Sid by saying this. If not for the Rob Rossies of the world and the Mark Maddens of the world and people like that who claim to have an in with Crosby and know what his intentions are and his motivation and what's next for him and what he wants to do, if I did not have knowledge of their reporting or their inside commentary, I would just hear that clip from Sid at Locker Cleanout Day, and I would be very, very nervous about him and his future here.
Year to year, one year at a time.
He said,
non-committal about a lot of things.
I have to talk to Kyle about it. When asked directly about signing a contract extension, like, there was no, yeah, I love it in Pittsburgh, I love the Penguins, I'll be here, don't sweat it, don't worry about it.
No, he gave a very non-committal, neutral answer when all we've heard about him is that he wants to play his whole career here, basically, that he likes being a Penguin for life.
So I'm not going to panic or freak out over those comments because other people have put me at ease, like Rob, who I respect and wanted to have on the show today.
First time in history somebody has said Rob put them at ease.
Yes,
generally.
Rob said, I have too much going on, so you guys can screw off, pretty much is
in
what he said.
In those exact words?
No. But you know, like, you can imagine the Rob tone.
The Rob tone is a notable tone.
And
yeah.
Surliness and crotchety.
Sorry, just too much going on.
Yes, and that whole deal.
Oh, yeah, I would love to join you.
But, you know, there's also the question of should Sidney Crosby want to be here? Should he want to finish his career here? And the pros and cons and pluses and minuses of that.
Well, it's a weird question, though, right off the bat, because Crosby's personal priorities are going to be different than the ones like anybody on the outside, me or you or anyone else that's writing about or talking about the team might attach to him.
Okay, so let me then start it this way. If Sidney Crosby's priority is to try to win a Stanley Cup, should he want to be here?
No. No, I mean, I'm answering that as honestly as I can. No.
Yeah.
But I think, like, if that was his priority, he would take considerably less than market value and go to, like, Colorado to play with McKinnon, wouldn't he? Or he would join who? Pick a team in the East that you think would benefit.
Well, he's always taken less than he's worth.
But I mean, like, dramatically less to make it fit on a team that has, like, big-time stars already who are younger.
I don't even think he'd have to do that. I think if he stayed at $8.7 million or even got a bump up to 9 or 10, he could fit onto a team that has better
Toronto.
Stanley Cup aspirations. Well, that one's tough because they're paying all their big guns.
Right.
But I get what you're saying. I mean,
so if he really wants a cup, like, cup or bust, then, yeah, you don't want to stay with the Penguins. The luxury he has that makes him not like a, say, Raymond Bork late in his career chasing one down, albeit with the Colorado Avalanche, just coincidentally here, he's got three of them.
Yep.
And so I think if you actually asked him what is priority one for you, he would say win another Stanley Cup, but I honestly believe it would come with a caveat for him in Pittsburgh with the Penguins. Like, I think he is the kind of student of hockey history where he would understand the way certain guys who were able to play their entire careers in one place are sort of deified as, like, more than they otherwise would have been because they did it all for one team wearing one sweater. Like, I think that matters to him.
We heard him yesterday before the game. He's just lowered the bar for what his expectations are for the Penguins. Even when he talks about them and the season they have and what he's looking to get out of it. He said yesterday, just get in, and if you get in, you can win the Stanley Cup. He knows that over the full 82-game season, that this team, even when it gets reconfigured next year, I would think, he has to know that this team does not have the personnel anymore over the long marathon of the season to be one of the NHL's best teams. So he's hoping, because this happens all the time in hockey, let's hopefully be average
good enough to get in and then get on a heater.
Yeah, basically. let's just hope we get hot.
I mean, that's the only realistic way you're going to build a contender here, a team that actually has a chance at winning a Stanley
that's
Cup.
That's not building a contender.
Well, no.
Building a team that
building a team that's good
that
enough.
You hope gets lucky.
Well, we've heard Neil Huntington when he was the Pirates GM say this. I want to try to win 85 games, build an 80 a team that like on paper should win 83, 84, 85 games. Hope they outperform that slightly. Get into the baseball playoffs, which are as random relative to the season length as possible, and then go from there.
That's right. That's Sidney Crosby pretty much saying, I think the Stanley Cup playoffs are random, so that's why if we get in, we have as good a shot as anybody.
But they are, and you've said that, and you're right to say that. They are no – you know, we always talk about, like, quickly when we bring up the NBA, we say, well, it's a superstar-determined league. The NHL playoffs specifically are goalie-determined more than anything. Health and goalie. You get through that first round because maybe your goalie's playing well and you're reasonably healthy, you have a massive, massive advantage because of just what a crapshoot
it is. Now you bring up the goalie point. Why would he want to be here? Why would he want to stay here with their goalie situation?
Their goalie situation stinks,
and he has to know that.
I would love to know. I mean this. I would love to be able to, like, talk to him. If somebody said, Chris, you have 10 minutes to talk to Crosby about hockey, and you're going to get pretty expansive answers. He's not going to give you, like, the Derek Jeter dodge and say nothing.
So no BS.
Yeah, I'm not going to get BS. He and I are having a beer together, completely incognito. No one knows that Chris Muller's out in public, you know, and talking with Sidney Crosby. And I would say, hey, man, like, one, how do you view the goaltender position generally, like, around the league? Like, do you think your GM says it's kind of voodoo and it's very hard to predict? Do you agree with him? And two, if the answer to that is yes, then I would say, do you feel like one of the two goalies that's still on this roster, Tristan Jarry, is good enough to get hot and win a Stanley Cup? I'd love to know the answers to both of those things. Because so many people who are around hockey and close to it say goaltending really is voodoo. There's like four good, like truly franchise-level guys in the league. Shesterkin is one of them. You would normally say Vasilevsky's another. And then can you for sure come up with another guy? That is
Hellebuck's really good.
But he early in his career, what was he?
Spotty at times. He's had ups and downs for sure.
That's my point is, like, there are very few of those guys that are just old reliable year after year after year. Even Vasilevsky this year is a little bit down from his usual.
You got the Boston duo, those guys swinging in Omar.
But I feel like that's way more a function of Boston is just maniacal about their discipline and their system
and
the way they play hockey.
Bobrovsky had a big year last year, but think about all the times he melted down in the playoffs.
Right, so you know, the million-dollar question with me and Sid and the goalie is just, do you think, like, can you win with Tristan Jarry? And I think that's where Jarry really is hurt by the way his career arc has gone thus far. He's played his worst at the biggest times.
Yep.
If he had even won you know what would be a complete difference maker for a lot of people? I'm not saying it would be right or wrong. If he had come back like he did for that Rangers series in Game 7, when Louis Domingue was leaking more oil than any goalie has in history, if he had slammed the door on the Rangers in Game 7, even though that would be essentially one game, I think people would view him differently.
I think his coach would. I think he would have put him back in for games down the stretch because he would have had that game and that evidence to fall back on that he's been able to get it done in critical or pressure-packed situations. I hear Crosby today, and I take what was a formality, 100% that he's back, and he signs an extension on July 1st, and he doesn't go into the last year of his contract. I've now taken that 100%, and I've dropped it down to 99% hearing him talk.
You all right?
99%. I'm just leaving now.
There's one orange ball in the 99 lottery balls that you pick it out, and it's, he's gone.
There's a sliver of space between the door and what do you call it?
The door jam?
The door jam. Yeah. Right. Just a little bit.
Can you barely? So it's like the total eclipse.
And if I didn't have Rossi and other Penguins reporters and like them saying there's no Colorado possibilities, not going to go and play in Montreal or anything like that, I would feel even less sure.
What would you be at percentage-wise in that case?
I don't know, like 65-35, he's still back.
Whew.
He still signs an extension, I should say.
Man, you are giving Rob. This is. I hope Rossi's listening. This is quite a. You're putting him over big
time.
Well,
Rob is just like crushed the Paul Bissonnettes and the people that would float out there. Hey, maybe Sid.
Well, those guys floated out
there. He's better
than
this.
They want to float it out there because they want it to happen. Because Sidney Crosby, like, teaming with Nathan MacKinnon would, like, set the hockey world on its ear. Sidney Crosby actually going and playing in Montreal would be massive front page news. I mean, it would dominate the Canadian headlines.
Yeah, I mean, he gets mobbed when he goes up there and plays.
Imagine if he went and played for Winnipeg or something. He played for, like, your second-tier Canadian teams.
He went and played for the Salt Lake City, whatever the hell they're going to call that team next. They can't keep Coyotes.
Why? There's Coyotes up there. That's like mountainous, rugged territory.
No, there's not.
Should they do something like the other Utah team and give them a wildly out of place nickname?
You're wrong about
that. The Utah
Fun. I've already looked this up because I wanted to see how outrageous the name was. Very minimal coyote population in Salt Lake.
Give me a native animal that they could make up there, like one that's really populous.
Well, whatever. What's the sea life in that lake?
Nothing, because it's too salty.
Really? There's nothing in the lake. It's just
sand. Yeah, it's literally
sand.
Too salty to support life.
Salt Lake City, lifeless body of water. That should be the name of the team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. You can't, I mean, the Dead Sea in the Middle East is called the Dead Sea.
There's
nothing
no crabs.
Lives
there. There's no seagulls even flying around.
It's just all salt water. Yeah, it's salt
water.
And it's rapidly drying up, I think, the Great Salt Lake. I think it's less great. What have they called it? The Utah Salt Licks? I don't know. The Utah Sodium. The Soakers I saw was actually put out there. I think that one gave
Donnie,
some momentum.
Donnie, you get that one? The Soakers?
I don't know if I do.
Are you just pretending that you don't because your parents are listening?
Maybe.
I think that was some nice honesty from Donnie.
Or is it because our boss is still in the booth with him?
No, he's not in here.
He'd probably laugh at that one. You know what the other thing is, too, about them? Just the other Crosby question, if I got my 10 minutes alone, Pony. And this is, I think, one you would probably like answering coming up. How pissed off is he about this season? Like, a very open-ended thing. Just how do you actually feel?
I would be livid.
Gloves off. Like, you're being honest with me. Hey, Sid, how do you feel about this season and your teammates and everything?
I would feel like they've let certain seasons get away in the playoffs, blown 3-1 leads, things of that nature. Not showing up for game sevens, things like that. But not even making the playoffs this year when you add the Norris Trophy winner and all of your stars are healthy the whole way through. Oh, my God. Yeah.
I'd be fuming. If I were Sid, I would encapsulate this season in two words. That's it? That's how I'd feel.
They got worse from last year.
This is all there is?
In 15 minutes, our PM team, Steelers Draft Prospect of the Day series continues. Steve Jones, the Penn State Nittany Lions voice. On offensive tackle, Olafoshinu, and the center who was in town.
I don't know how to describe Hunter Norzad as the center, but I don't know how to describe the way he's getting buzz, Pony. It's like one of those guys who people who are super plugged into the draft say, if you're looking for early day three type of picks who could end up starting much sooner than people think and being good pros – that's the kind, like, I see his name mentioned in that sort of context a lot.
Who's saying these things?
I'm talking about, like, your general draft insiders, the people who are just, this is what they do for a living. They like
name
the
three.
Guy. Who have said it about Norzad?
Ryan Wilson, Mel Kiper Jr. Are we talking, like, the really inside the draft
types? I think we're talking
types.
Even the big inside the draft types. I got to go look for, the Paulines of the world.
Dane Brugler.
I'm going to bring up the Beast draft guide here to see what Brugler said about him to refresh my memory.
Your John Ledyards.
Oh, if we go deep enough to get Ledyard there.
The Ledyards.
The Ledyards of the world.
The Fighting Ledyards. Is he a Greensburg guy?
Where's the Waynesburg guy.
Waynesburg
guy.
I mean, he went to school at Waynesburg. I don't know where his actual hometown is.
Okay.
Waynesburg really punching above its weight class when it comes to people it's put into the local media scene here.
Yeah, like Little Austin. Mike Sullivan in about a half hour or less. All right, so let's get to more of these comments from Penguins Locker Cleanout. We got a four horsemen here of Jari, Ned, Letang, and Carlson. Let's start with Jari because these Jari comments, I'm going to move my laptop away from here at the Rivers because when you hear what Jari said today about everything that went on with him this season, you're going to want to punch
Should I move my own laptop away?
Donnie's
because
got
this
it.
Is a very nice laptop.
Donnie's got it back at our station. Let's hear Jari.
On Jari.
Yes, Jari, this absolute disgrace of a season. Here he is talking about things today at Locker Cleanout.
How would you assess individually just how your year went, how you played?
Honestly, I thought it was
pretty good. There's some stretches that I thought could be better, and there's some stretches to learn from, obviously. But I think that I had a pretty good year. I was healthy the whole year. I was able to be available for every game, so I think that was a step in the right direction in growing.
Are you at all questioning or concerned about how the next 4 years are going to look after you just signed last year?
No, I obviously signed long term because I want to be here, and that was my thought and my goal was I want to remain a Penguin, and that was always my thought from the beginning.
Tristan, did you understand why they made the decision they did there at the end?
Do you have any reason to doubt that the coaching staff still has confidence in you?
I played a lot of games this year. I played a lot of games consecutively, so I think being better next year, being a better person, being a better goalie, I think that'll help, and it'll elevate my game.
Man gave Jeff a Bellefonte snorkel there on that question. Didn't give him an answer. I'm going to have to ask about that.
Was that literally how that went?
I don't know. Played pretty good. I thought I had a pretty good year.
Can I just give you...
He had the lowest save percentage since he's become a starter. He didn't play in the last, 13 games?
Basically 3 weeks of the season. When they were playing de facto playoff hockey, the head coach, who we know is a fan of Jarry, or had been a fan of Jarry, went with, was the backup. Tristan Jarry from 2020 through 2023, Pony. Okay, so starting with the 19-20 season, he started 172 games. He won 103 of them, and he had a 9.15 save percentage. That is in balance, objectively. That is pretty good, 9.15. That's pretty good, okay? His goals against that year, that four-year span, 2.62. Again, pretty good. Tristan Jarry this year led the league in shutouts, yet still managed to barely get above 900, 903 save percentage. His lowest since he became a starter, by far worse than those games I gave you, that stretch of games. You know what he just gives off? You know what? Here's what it is. I couldn't put my finger on it listening to that, but here's the most important thing he said. I signed a long-term contract. He is a guy who is acutely aware of the fact that he's making $5 million plus per year, no matter what the hell happens, and he's pretty chill about that. It makes it pretty easy. It's not going to get interpreted that way. People are going to say, you're making Jarry sound like a bad guy. He sounds like a guy that knows he's financially set.
He sounds tone deaf. He sounds delusional.
If you had played pretty good, you'd have been playing all these games down the stretch.
I'm actually going to give this guy a little bit of credit. Let's contrast it to what Letang said about his season. Play that one, Donnie.
Roller coaster. Kind of the same thing as the team. It went well. Hit some dips. At the end, got better. Consistency was an issue.
He's more honest about his own season than Sullivan was yesterday about the way Letang played. He came out and gave Sidney Crosby and Letang plaudits for the season they had. In Sid's case, very deserving. In Letang's case, not so much. And at least this guy, I think, accurately describes his season. Ups and downs.
Well, Letang has been, I've gotten on his case for being, indignant before, especially several years ago when they were still riding pretty high from those cups, right? Remember the Islanders series where he just said, what do you want me to do? That whole thing.
I thought never make a mistake, play great every time. And Mackey, that was hilarious.
That was actually one of my favorite back and forths in retrospect. But I'll give him, I'm going to give him a lot of credit because I think even while they were in that tailspin, he was one of the guys actually willing to say we sucked and we didn't show up. It's not good enough. You know what else he sounded like very quickly here? I don't want to make a mountain out of a molehill. He sounds like a guy who understands what his age is and how many more bites at the apple he potentially has left, doesn't he?
Yep.
When you start being willing to kind of look inward at like that, I think that tells me that you know you're close to the end.
All right, we just have time for Carlson. Let's hear him on what he thinks is next for his career with the Penguins.
It's going to be nice to step away for a bit and reflect and try and figure out what you can do to move forward and be better as a player and better as a team. And one thing I know is and that I've learned over the first year here is how dedicated this organization is to be at its best and how professional everybody is, and I know that everybody's going to work tirelessly to make sure that we utilize our abilities and we play up to the standards that we know that we can come next year.
He's not going anywhere. He's not waving his no movement clause. He knows he's here to stay, and he just thinks after a year of adjustment, and getting acclimated, things will get better next
season. He frustrated me a lot during the season, saying I thought we played great after the Detroit game where he personally handed Detroit a point. He frustrated me, even as he played better down the stretch by and large.
Fan Hotline, let's go to that, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Mike Sullivan, Penguins coach, in about 15 minutes. Stay tuned for that. Malzy, I'm very happy to introduce our next guest. You went to Penn State, so you remember so many of his iconic calls during the early 2000s while you were there. I grew up and heard a lot of his calls on a show called The Penn State Football Story, which used to air on the YES Network in New York.
I knew that it aired. I didn't know it was on the YES Network.
Oh, very popular. So, watching Brandon Short plays and whatnot.
Question for you. Whenever you think of certain announcers, do you think of certain names that they would say? Not for any like special
yes.
reason.
When I think of this next guest, I think Robbie Gold.
I think of two. I think of Calvin Lowry and Alan Zamaitis. Those two in that secondary for Penn State.
And we're
State
talking about
years.
The voice of Penn State football, Steve Jones, for our PM team, Steelers Draft Prospect of the Day segment. Olu Fashanu, I didn't think we would get to him. Because last year he was thought to be a top 10 pick, and then early in the draft process, same thing. Now there's an article in the Post-Gazette today wondering if he's going to drop all the way to 20 and be there when the Steelers are on the clock. Steve Jones with us right now. Steve, how could that be? Fashanu available at 20, your thoughts?
Well, first of all, it's great to be with both of you. Let's start with that. Now we'll get to Olu. As we all know, as Olu was going through the process of this, and working at the combine and then pro day, he got a little banged up on the combine, didn't do as much on the pro day. So because of that, you're going to have a tendency to drop a bit when that happens. That doesn't really matter because the last time I checked, some guys that drop down end up in a great situation. And if that's what happens with him, be it. But I think he is the best pass blocker in the draft. I think Alt of Notre Dame is the best run blocker in the draft. But as a pass blocker, you're talking about great feet, long arms, right? It's not a question that he gave up any sacks. He didn't give up any pressures last year. When you're not giving up any pressures, you're not giving up any sacks. Now, as a run blocker, he needs to be better. There's no question about that. But that's where I look at him right now. If he happens to drop there, great, because he'd be in a great situation with the Steelers.
Steve, right before we had you on, I just looked at another person who covers the draft and was writing about Fashanu and said, called him what I thought was an oxymoron, a long-armed T-Rex. But then I realized what he meant was this guy is a very unusual thing where he's got long arms, but he has very small hands, 8.5-inch hands. That's Kenny Pickett territory.
Yeah.
Does that hurt him in run blocking? Can you explain what that might mean for him as a pro that he has, for his size, relatively small hands?
Well, he's not throwing the ball.
I mean, I just wonder if there's any correlation with that in the run blocking, or what is the main reason his run blocking is behind his pass blocking at this point?
I think that for him maybe a little stiff sometimes, in terms of, and they've had to work on that with him, but it's not hand size or anything like that because look. If your arms are long and your hands are working well enough, you can pass block. He can pass block. Run blocking is just something that's more of a technique thing, and he has to be better there, in my opinion. But I think he's just a heck of a prospect. Whomever gets him is going to get a guy that can really play the left tackle, will protect the back of the quarterback he's working with, and not only that, gets an absolutely high character guy in the locker room. This guy is beloved in his locker room, and he's not the biggest talker on the face of the earth. But one of the reasons he stayed at Penn State last year instead of being a top 10 pick, which he probably would have been, is that he personally values education, which goes back to his parents. His parents are teachers, and they value education so much, and so he decided to stay and finish out. He could have come back, but he finished out with his degree. That's a big reason why. It's a good question. I think with the draft, we tend to overthink everything because it's a one-day event and we have so much time to think about everybody that we right. tend to overthink it.
Any right tackle experience for Fashanu, Steve?
He did a long time ago. A long time ago he did, but he's really been a left tackle almost exclusively at Penn State. when he finally got into the lineup and entered as a starter for the Outback Bowl a few years ago. He's played nothing but left tackle ever since. They have not moved him around. He has stayed there the entire time. It's been like a guy like Caden Wallace who will be drafted later. He's actually a guy that's moved around a lot more, but not Olu.
Steve, you just mentioned sort of the amount of time we have to talk about the draft, and one thing I do like about that, one positive consequence is I think you have time for people to really start saying, hey, these are some sleeper guys, some guys who are going to be undervalued in the draft for one reason or another, but who could become very productive pros in the mid to later rounds. And the center, Hunter Norzad, is somebody that seems to be gaining steam.
And just met with the Steelers.
Right, just met with the Steelers. I know he's old. He's 24 years old. But tell us more about this guy, because I've seen people, Steve, say that he could actually compete for starters reps at guard or center, even as like maybe a fourth-round pick very early in his rookie season.
See, the key part is the part you brought up later there, guard or center. The NFL really values guys, especially when you're carrying, what are they carrying, 8 offensive linemen during the course of a game, something like that. Mm-hmm. If you have positional versatility, that makes a big difference. For example, in the Eagles a couple of years ago, Cam Jurgens has been starting at guard. Well, now with the retirement of Kelsey, guess who's flipping back to center where he played in college? He is.
Right.
Landon Dickerson was the same way. Norzad is powerfully built, quick, and as a Cornell grad, he is very smart. Now, so that's the center that's going to be calling out protections up front, communicating up front. He can do all of that. But the fact that he started at center as well as State, tell us about that versatility. It gives you a three-position guy in that where he can help you out up front.
Steve Jones, the voice of Penn State, one of the iconic voices in college football. Steve, thanks for coming on with us, man. We really appreciate it. You're
thanks,
the best.
Steve.
Guys, really enjoyed it. Thanks so much.